There are currently 8,600 inmates in Idaho's correctional system, and there aren't nearly enough beds to house them, or the 10,000 inmates that the state predicts it will have to house by 2020. Short-term solutions have included keeping inmates in county jails and contracting with other states to house them somewhere else. Now, state corrections officials are requesting $500 million for a new prison to house up to 1,500 inmates. State Representative Melissa Wintrow wants to see that $500 million put to things like education programs, health care, and transitional training, something she sees as contributing to the reduction of recidivism. And Representative Wintrow joins me live now to talk more about that. Welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me. It's good to be here.
So you recently visited the women's correctional facility in Pocatello. Tell me about that visit.
Well, this is my third visit actually to that facility. And after my first session in the legislature in 2015, I felt it was really important to get out and see what I was making decisions about. So I've been, I think, in all the correctional facilities in the state except up north, and Pocatello in particular, because of my background with women's studies and a women's center director. Mm-hmm. So interested in, you know, how they're doing and what are the gender differences in incarceration. So yeah, I just visited there last month. From the first time I visited there in 2015 to now, it's night and day difference. And I do want to commend the Department of Corrections. I think they have really put a lot of effort in changing their philosophy of incarceration. So my first visit, I walked out pretty numb and very feeling down. Mm-hmm. But they have shifted their philosophy in that just because you're incarcerated, you might lose your liberty, but you should not lose your humanity. I mean, I've heard them say that. And so they're really trying to normalize life in prison. So when you leave and you make that transition back into the community, you're going to be more successful.
So what have they done in particular from 2015 to now? So in 3 years...
Yeah, I've seen dramatic changes in small, low-cost investments make huge differences. So, for example, just different paint colors, lighting makes a huge difference in our demeanor. We know that in our lives, right? So just that makes a difference in how people feel. The programs have gotten a lot better, and I think they have, using that Council for State Governments report, they have really renovated their programming. And now everybody's still, there's still improvements to be making, but when I walked in there 3 years ago, I had women telling me they felt hopeless, they were wasting away, lifeless, and my last visit, you know, people talking about feeling like hope.
And that makes a huge difference, I think, when you get out in the community after you've served your sentence.
Absolutely. So, you know, in my time sitting on the Criminal Justice Commission, the Justice Reinvestment Committee, Judiciary and Rules, and now the Joint Appropriation and Finance Committee, I'm seeing the bigger picture here. And as I said earlier, this $500 million request is a wake-up call. It is a gut check. This is a wake-up call for what is going on in our communities.
And tell me about that, because some people might think, well, we've got more inmates. We need it. We need more space. But is that, in your opinion, the answer?
I think for most of us, we threw up our hands when we heard that number. I think most citizens, because mm-hmm. we want to invest our money in things like education, mental health care, substance abuse treatment. We want to invest in our citizens early on so they're successful. We don't want to invest in prisons. You know, I was saying earlier, it's either preschool or prison. We see a huge correlation with early learning programs and decrease in incarceration rates. And so I think this is our wake-up call for our state to say, do we want to spend more money on prisons or do we want to go to the root causes and try to look at what we can do to prevent and educate our citizens, invest in that early and to keep people out of prison.
And I want to get back to those root causes in a minute, but I do want to talk to you about this $500 million that the Idaho Board of Corrections is asking for and how exactly that works, because this won't necessarily go, they don't have to go to the legislature and ask for this, correct? This goes directly to the governor. Can you explain that process?
Yeah, I attended the Board of Corrections meeting. I think it was last week. The three commissioners did a really good job of discussing this issue. You could tell they just were struggling. I think folks are feeling like they're in a rock and a hard place because we do have too many people to deal with. So we've got to do something. We have mm-hmm. to follow federal laws and state laws, right, in the way we treat our prisoners. And so we're gonna have to investigate that. But what they determined was the Department of Corrections has submitted a estimated budget of what all this would cost. And so they've approved a process called an RFI, a request for information, to get at more specific figures to make sure we're on the right track, and that'll get submitted to the governor's office. And if the governor approves that, we'll go into his budget, and then we'll go before the legislature.
And then the legislature will then vote on whether or not to approve that funding.
Right. Their budget will come to the Appropriation and Finance Committee.
I'm speaking with State Representative Melissa Wintrow. We're talking about the state's prison overcrowding problem, as well as this proposed new facility that could cost upwards of $500 million. You talked, Representative Wintrow, about the root causes. And within our prison system, and this is across the country, so many inmates are in there for drug offenses. And many of them, because of how our federal laws are they have mandatory sentences. So we see this overcrowding. What would you like to see done about that?
You present a very good point that is coming before the Justice Reinvestment Committee, in fact, tomorrow. We met earlier in the summer. We're meeting again tomorrow and again in August. And we're going to be exploring a variety of ways to decrease our prison population. One of those is really examining which people should actually be incarcerated. I think it's the most violent offenders that would be an endangerment to the community. And we are going to take a closer look at what Utah and Texas is doing and some other states in the areas of possession of drugs. I'm not a law enforcement officer, so I don't want to say I have expertise there, but I think we need to examine who are we incarcerating and why and for what length of time. So we need to look at sentencing. We need to look at thresholds for certain crimes, you know, how we're charging, all those things to make sure we're not incarcerating or casting too wide a net for some crimes. And I think on that note of drug possession and addiction, we have to ask ourselves, why are they led to drugs, right?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe to treat trauma. So, for example, when I went to the Pocatello's facility, I met with some group of women who are mentoring each other, and they talked about pain in their lives. They said one of the common themes in our lives here is pain. Why? Because most of the women, 90% or more of those women, were first victims of crime, sexual or physical violence. What do you do when you're a victim of crime or a trauma of that case? You try to forget. You medicate. You get involved in bad relationships. You smoke. You drink. You take drugs. And that is the real problem, especially with violence against women in our country. We are re-traumatizing women in prison instead of giving them the services they need. First of all, preventing the actual violence and then treating the trauma mm-hmm. if it happens.
Because federally, with mandatory minimums, and not saying I'm not going to group everyone together who is in prison for a drug offense, but there is research that shows
right.
that these are lesser drug violations.
Right.
But we have mandatory minimums.
Right. Well, here in the state of Idaho, that's not even just a federal law. We have a mandatory minimum
right.
for drug trafficking, which is based on an amount of possession, not necessarily intent to sell. So Representative Rubel and Representative Perry actually brought a bill that made it through the House last session to basically amend that law to give judges the discretion to not assign a mandatory minimum if there's some manifest injustice. So somebody is, they look at the case and they say, oh my heavens, this is absolutely the wrong use of the law, gives judges discretions. Right now, the judges have no discretion on this mandatory minimums. And so, yeah, that I think that should be examined more thoroughly to see who really is in prison and why, and is that really the most effective way to do it.
And then when they are incarcerated, what about education? What about, you know, things about getting them into drug treatment programs, getting them ready to go back out into society? Because most people in prison will get out.
Right. You know, I've met a number of educators in the systems, and I have to say I applaud and commend them. I've seen some really good work. I just actually spoke at a GED graduation ceremony early in the summer at the men's prison here in Boise. I think there is a turn and resources generated that way where I see the problem. So if you think about incarceration, IDOC, the Department of Correction, is actually righted the ship. They're doing better. The programs are improving. We're getting more people educated. What we're struggling with is the root cause, right?
Mm-hmm.
Prevention. And when they transition out. So I went to a parole commission hearing and I finally got it. We are not doing enough to invest in housing, affordable housing for folks when they leave, health care, substance abuse treatment. I think sometimes I want to say the inmates had about a month's supply of medications and that's it. And then if they're not covered under a health insurance plan like Medicaid, what are they going to do? That's why our recidivism rates are so high. So to me, we need to look that $500 million right in the face and say, the low-hanging fruit to me is on the transitional side out. We know the recidivism rate is high, so why don't we invest in more parole and probation officers who can build quality relationships with folks leaving? Right now, I think they're getting like 75 to 100 people a person. No one can supervise in quality that many people. We need to drop that ratio, and we need to help people in that transition.
And bottom line, is that where you believe the money should ultimately go if we are looking at, we're talking $500 million mm-hmm. dollars?
If I were governor, this is the wand I would wave. I would invest in education from early learning programs to home visiting programs, which we actually did boost that funding in this year, $1.6 million for home visiting, which I think is a cheap investment with huge dividends to help people in their homes with their kids. Pre-K. We need to fund early learning. There is a mountain of data to suggest or tell us that we're going to reduce incarceration rates. 7 out of 10 prisoners nationwide do not have a high school diploma. That goes back to, why are people criminals? Lack of education, lack of opportunity, lack of a good paying job. We have some of the lowest wages in the country. Last year, according to a STEM report, we had, 2,000 STEM jobs sitting on the table unfilled.
Right, right.
$450 million in, 7,000 jobs, I was just reminded in my notes. 7,000 jobs not filled, which means
7,000 STEM jobs. These are high-paying, good jobs.
That don't always require a bachelor's degree.
Right.
They could be a certificate program, an associate's degree, et cetera.
But we don't have an educated enough populace is what we continue to hear.
But we have a waiting list. Over at Idaho State University, I just went there on a JFAC tour, and they are turning people away. And they have people calling saying, just send me welders. So that's low-hanging fruit to me. Let's invest in education. Let's hire more faculty. Let's fill those seats. Let's get people educated and in the job market. So early learning programs, preschool, really good high school education investments. Higher ed, we have really fallen down on that. We should be investing and helping people fill jobs. And we need to raise our wages, period.
I want to thank you for coming in today, Representative Wintrow, and talking about this. We will, of course, be continuing this conversation with prison reform. So thank you for your insight. I do appreciate it.
Thank you. I could talk forever on this subject.
I think we all could.